and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Brie.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome to our Grey's Anatomy recap show. We are finishing season 11 today with the finale, episode 23 and episode 24. We're doing it.
Yeah, we last week we said farewell to Derek, and now we are saying farewell to April and Jackson.
I was like, wait, what? They're leaving? Yeah, it's an interesting finale. So I'm excited to talk about it. One thing, if this is your first time listening, you'll notice tonight later on that we have someone scrubbing in on the podcast with us. If you are interested in that or bonus episodes or having a Zoom hangout with us, joining our private Facebook group, there's so many really cool opportunities if you go to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. Also, you are supporting us, which means a lot to us. It helps us continue to make this podcast weekly. You can also follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod.
Another way that you can support the podcast is you can leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen. 5 scalpels, please. We really appreciate it. It helps other listeners find us, and it just like bumps us up, and it like also pumps us up. So yes, thank you. Yeah. So thank you to anyone who's left a review.
And if you are a $10 patron, which is our highest level, our attending level, you get like a bonus 10 minutes of the show every week if you're listening through the Patreon app. So today's topic, if you want to stick around after the we call time of death, is about the new class of interns that we meet in these two episodes, including Andrew DeLuca, which is crazy. So if you want to hear us talk about that, you'll have to be a $10 patron. And also, if you do become one, you get access to all the post-ops in the full-length episodes. So, yeah, we're really excited to talk about that. And I just can't believe that he shows up right now. We'll maybe say like a little bit about him, but most of the topic will be in post-op. So,
yes. Finally, our big announcement. So this is the finale of season 11. And currently, as you know, I'm sure because you're listening to a Grey's Anatomy podcast, there is season 17, which is live right now. Last fall, when it came out again, we were doing recap episodes and people really seemed to like that. So we've decided that for the remainder of season 17, we're going to be recapping the rest of the episodes. And those will be our weekly episodes that we're putting out before we get into season 12. So the first one we're going to start with will be the episode that airs on April 15th. So, you know, show up for that and hear what we have to say and our reactions and feelings about the newest season.
I'm hoping that because we're doing this, it won't be the final season of Grey's. Like if we didn't decide to do it, it would have ended up being like a hot conversation topic, but instead it's just going to be like the season before the final season of Grey's.
Yes.
But I'm excited to do those again. Like I love going through these old ones, but especially because I feel like we need to take a breather after this one because so much happens. It's just nice to jump into future land where like, I don't have to grieve the loss of Derek. Like he's been gone long enough that it feels like a blip, you know?
Totally. And, you know, I think there are some good things happening in the newest season. And I think there are some pretty wacky things happening. So it's fun to give an initial hot take. I think it would also be fun later on if we ever get to season 17, where we actually like take our notes and review it the way that we have done all the other seasons. It would be interesting to see in a rewatch if we felt differently than our initial reactions.
Yeah, I wonder if I will appreciate Teddy's storyline and Owen's. Well, I doubt I'll, whatever, but like maybe I'll find some deeper meaning in the Owen things that I just am so sick of now, but it's highly unlikely. So yeah, looking forward to doing that for the rest of the month. And we have someone scrubbing in today. It's a finale. There's a lot going on. But before we get into it, how are you?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day in Michigan. We are dog sitting right now. So we took the pup on a walk when I got out of work, which was really nice. I think John really wants a dog. He like wouldn't even let me walk the dog. He was just like, this is my dog. So that was really nice. And yeah, it's just, you know, my regular Monday sitting across the table virtually from you. And I love it.
I know. Oh, I forgot to mention too, I feel like this is important. We are going to have a bonus episode coming up. I'll plug it now and I'll probably plug it again as we know more details, but I just want to foreshadow it. A fellow listeners of ours, Sam, she has a podcast called Beach Houses and Babies, which is diving deep into every episode of Private Practice. They're currently in season 2. So if you are interested in like catching up with them and watching the show along with them, they're not too far in that you have enough time to jump in, but we recorded a crossover episode with her last night. And so we are going to be on that show and we are going to release those episodes for like as a part of our bonus episode. So if you are a patron, $5 or more, you can listen to those on our feed. Obviously, like it's also on there. So please support them as well. But just very exciting that it'll show up in your feed as well that way. So we're pretty excited about it and it was really fun. And it brought us back to season 5 of Grey's, which is, I feel like, happy times.
Yeah, it was wild. We saw Izzy again, and that just felt...
felt weird.
It felt very weird. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we love what she's doing with the podcast, so check her out. Yeah. That's another way you can support us is support... other
friends.
People. Yeah.
It's also beautiful in Michigan. I hope it's beautiful where you all are. It's just like I laid on my deck and stared at the sky yesterday, which is just such an exciting moment in my life that I have a deck and I didn't get it until August of last year. So I'm like very excited that I have all of these spring months to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And so that was a blast. And I got vaccinated today and I still feel okay. So that was also exciting. Shout out to the people working at the Walgreens hustling. And there was a lot of people there and it was a little chaotic, but it was great. So it was fun.
Well, that's great. And I'm glad you're still feeling all right.
I am moving my arms around, making sure it doesn't get stiff, drinking my liquid IV in my waters, wishing I was sponsored because I want those electrolytes and all those other good vitamins. It's like I'm kind of, I actually feel really great today. I'm like, maybe I should drink this much water all the time because I've drank so much today just to, in like preparation of like that I might not feel good later. And I feel quite energized and I'm like, oh, it's the water.
Yeah. Hydration. It's very important. I don't do well with it.
Me either. I didn't even have coffee today, which is wild. And I'm not drinking wine right now, even though I want to be, because if I have a fever in the middle of the night, I'm going to be pissed if I'm also hungover.
Yeah. That's not going to feel fun.
So anyways, well, like I said, we have someone scrubbing in today. It's the last one of season 11. How are you feeling? Do you feel like we've accomplished this? Like what's your feelings right now about to go into this?
I really can't believe that we made it through 11 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. so that's, you know, I don't know if I've committed to anything for this like long in my life. I'm about to get married. So that's.
But we're already 4 years ahead of that. It'll be a while before you outdo this.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel really proud of us and, kind of bittersweet because this is, you know, like the last, what I think we kind of talked about, like kind of feels like original Grey's, like even having, I guess we'll talk about this more, but it was shocking to see DeLuca because I was like, whoa, he's been on the show that long. But this is where to me, it feels like, where it kind of stops being original Grey's and moves into a different thing. So it's kind of bittersweet.
I feel the same way. It also kind of makes me happy that we're taking a quick breather before jumping into season 12, because I do feel like you said that Grey's changes. And I think they like set us up really well for that change. But it's like a little jarring to just like jump into. So I'm looking forward to just like sitting with this season for a while, you know, and like letting it be, because I do think it ends really beautifully. And I also, yeah, again, we're going to talk about the interns and post-op, so we won't get into it in the discussion with our co-hosts, but I just do want to say that like, I didn't realize, and I think it makes the whole DeLuca Merida storyline make even more sense, that he literally shows up her like first time back to work. I mean, it's not her first day, but you know, it's like she came back after Derek died and then he's there. Like there's no overlap of them. And it's so immediate that he shows up.
Yeah.
So very interesting. Also, rest in peace. This is a spoiler podcast. So, okay, well, let's take a break and then we will get into the rest of our conversation.
Sounds good.
Hello and welcome back to the On-Call Room. We have a lovely guest, Hannah, scrubbing in with us today. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, guys.
Hannah, so happy you're here. I want the listeners to know that Hannah is the most dedicated patron we have ever had. We are starting almost an hour later because of technical difficulties, and she has been a trooper the whole time. So thank you, Hannah.
Of course, just more time to hang out with you guys and drink more of my beer, so it's fine.
It turns out, listeners, that I am a robot. I am not a real human being, and my body has been overtaken by robots, so I'm sorry. Rest in peace to my real body.
You know what's really weird is, like, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Like, in Grey's Anatomy, like, it's completely left my brain because of how much of, like, trying to figure out how to do, like, record this podcast, so this will be interesting. You guys are just going to have to lead me, I think.
Perfect.
Lead the way.
Good.
Okay, so Hannah, when did you start watching Grey's Anatomy first?
So I was like 12 years old, which now looking back at it is kind of like, okay, that's kind of young, but me and my mom found it at season one was like on disc at Barnes and Noble's.
Yes.
And it was like only $10 or something. So I was like, oh yeah, I want to own like a whole season of something. So I got it and then I started watching it. And ever since it's been like me and my mom's show. So I've been watching it since then.
So
does
your
mom still watch? Oh, sorry, Brie.
Yeah, me and my mom still watch it together. So it's kind of hard when we, like, I lived in San Diego for a year or when I was at college, we would like FaceTime with like one earbud in one ear. And then in the other earbud, we'd be listening to the show. So we'd like watch it at the same time.
That's so sweet. Also, Abby, I don't know, I didn't tell you this and I don't know if Hannah did, but she is one episode behind on the newest season. So we can't spoil that.
Okay, perfect. Yes. Good to know. Yes. Maybe don't listen to this episode until you've caught up because we talk about it in the intro.
Sounds
so
good.
Just be warned.
I know that DeLuca dies. So I know I'm caught up okay. on like pretty much everything. So yes.
Okay. Perfect. Awesome. Amazing that you've avoided spoilers. Very proud of you. We also love to ask, who is your favorite Grey's Anatomy character?
It would be Amelia Shepherd.
Interesting.
Ooh, I love that.
Yes. I loved her in Private Practice. I loved her storyline so much. And then she's so emotional and I'm just an emotional person. So I just like, I love how she's like broken and then gets like puts herself back together again. And she's just like finding herself. And yeah, I don't know. I just really like her.
So I feel like the end of season 11 is good for you because Amelia has some really great, I mean, maybe not great things happen to her, but like great acting and like kind of being broken down and stuff. And so,
yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Like, I think that it was the episode right before this one, like 23, when she like broke down to Owen
mm-hmm.
and she was like, I can't do it. Like, I can't live and just like without like drugs and stuff. And just, I love that scene between the two of them is probably actually one of my like top Grey's Anatomy scenes that I like.
It's interesting.
So raw and good.
Yeah, that's interesting. The episode is coming out. You haven't listened to it yet, but I have a hot take on it. So
we'll
have to touch base after you talk about it.
Maybe it's Maybe it's good that she is talking with us before she listens to your hot take.
Yeah, that's very true.
I like her too. So, and that no one ever answers that for that question. So I really love that. I wonder if it ties in at all. Do you have a favorite couple? Is it involve her or is that totally different?
I feel like that's totally different. Because her in relationships is just a lot to follow. So I like, although I do love her in Link. Relationships, oh my gosh, there's so many. I mean, obviously Meredith and Christina. And I love, yeah, I'm sorry. I've been thinking about these questions since you guys asked me to co-host for the last like few weeks. And I cannot think of a favorite couple. I don't know. I just...
I like your answer of Christina and Meredith. That's like, I mean, I have that tattooed on my arm and so does Bree. Exactly.
Yeah. They're a great couple.
I do like the new guy that Christina like sent from Switzerland or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see him and Meredith be like for real a thing.
Yeah.
So maybe I that's would too. Answer.
Yeah.
Love it.
Do you have a hot take about Grey's?
I don't despise Owen Hunt, so I feel like that's a hot take with you guys. But in like terms of the general show, I don't know if people ever liked him, but I hated that nurse Eli that Bailey dated.
Yeah, I didn't care for him either.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody really liked him, but I didn't like him. So
yeah,
that'll be my hot Bailey, take.
Yeah,
I think Bailey liked having sex with him.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was like sexy and fun, but he was like not the nicest guy in the world. So
no,
feel...
he was like meant to be a piece of meat, which, you know. Yeah.
Totally.
He was just
for sure,
weird.
For sure.
He was just weird. He creeped me out a little.
Yeah. What about, is there a storyline that gives you GGBs, Grey's Goosebumps, for those of you that don't know, like one that just you really love?
Oh, I mean, there's actually a lot in this season finale, like GGBs at the end, I really felt with Amelia. But I would say probably when, Derek dying. Can't not have GGBs with that. So
we agree for sure. And then our last question is, where did you find the podcast?
Yeah. So like I said, I lived in San Diego for a year, moved down there. And then we were down there for like a year. And then I moved back. And on my drive back to Wisconsin, where I'm from, it's like 30 hours total. So it's like 4 days of driving, 10 hours each day. And so I was like sick of music. I was sick of the radio. I just needed something else. And so I listened to some podcasts, but I wanted something really... like not heavy. And so I looked up Grey's Anatomy and you guys were the first one. And I listened to you guys all through like Arizona and Nebraska and all through the boring states. And you guys kept me company. And it was, oh my gosh, it was seriously like, I felt like I was friends with you guys. It was the best 30-hour drive ever.
Oh, that's really special. I feel like we would be a lot to binge, but people have talked about us keeping them company. And I think we're a good enough time that like, you know, you could giggle along. Hannah, we completely forgot, and every co-host gets this opportunity. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, who are you? What do you like to do? Like, where are you? Whatever you want to share.
Yeah. So, I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I am a nurse. And let's see, I have a dog, Maisie. She's the love of my life. Let's see what else. It's getting nice out, so I've loved spending some time outside and reading. I love plants. That's my other thing. So yeah, I guess that's me.
Well,
fun fact, I got to meet Hannah virtually because in the spring, when I was doing the FaceTime sessions for my photo stuff, she booked a session. And so I got to meet her dog, her plants, and her in her apartment. And it was like early days of pandemic life. So it's just like crazy. I'm just happy that we finally get to talk for, I mean, we talked then, but now we get to talk about Grey's, which we both really love. So
yes,
I love
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Well, we're really happy that you're here and you stuck with us. through the technological difficulties, and hopefully we can make it through. So are you guys ready to jump into it?
Yeah, let's do it. Brie, why don't you start and I'll do the second one.
Yeah, so we're in season 11, episode 23, 24, Time Stops and You're My Home. The first short summary, the doctors of Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital are forced to put their emotions aside when a catastrophic event occurs.
And as the doctors continue to tackle an unfathomable crisis, they are reminded of what is important and brought them closer.
So the monologue, time stops when you're in the OR. You step up to the table, you evaluate the patient, you pick up a scalpel, and then you go into a bubble. It's just you and your surgery and nothing else matters. Not time, not pain, not exhaustion, nothing. It happens in real life too. When something big happens, something tragic, you freeze. You retreat into your happy bubble for what seems like a second until you look up. And suddenly you realize it's a whole new world. How do you step back into the world? It's scary. Time stood still and now it's speeding by. You're looking for a lifeboat, something to give you hope. But are you really ready to leave your happy little bubble and step back out into the big, blinding, bloody, terrible world? Are you ready to achieve the impossible? Meredith Grey.
And the next one, I remember once in school, someone saying, I came from a broken home. That's what they used to call it when your parents got divorced, even though getting divorced was the least broken they ever did. When I heard that as a little kid, I wondered if broken homes were where broken people lived. It was silly. I mean, I was just a little kid. To this day, I still wonder. You can build a house out of anything, make it as strong as you want, but a home is more fragile than that. A home is made of the people you fill it with, and people can be broken, sure. But any surgeon knows what's broken can be mended. What that's hurt can be healed. That no matter how dark it gets, the sun's going to rise again. Meredith Grey. I feel like I did not grasp that monologue as it was happening in real time, but that's a really beautiful one to end season 11.
I totally I just understood it as you were saying it also.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why
it's so good.
That's why I think it's important that we read these monologues. Like sometimes people might skip over them and like not really care, but they really do tie into the episodes. And when it's happening so quickly and at the beginning and the end, like it's hard to kind of like listen to what's going on. So I think it's important. And you did a very nice job reading that, Abby.
thank you.
Shotgun workup. We have Scott Henry, penetrating abdominal wound, intrarenal IVC injury. Joan Paulson, pregnancy, broken arm, fractured neck, neck dislocation, uterine adeny?
Atony.
Carotid. There you go. Pseudoaneurysm. And then Keith Gardner, crush injuries, collapsed lung, penetrating abdominal injury, penetrating abdominal injury. It's fine. Move along. Is it supposed to be thoracic?
How we should have sent this. No, not thoracic. That's what it is. But we should have sent this to Hannah and had her read it because she's a nurse. I have big regrets.
Yeah. I only got one thing.
Do great with the medical pronunciation. Let me just say. You guys are doing wonderfully.
Thank you.
We're getting better. All right. So for rounds, we have the big catastrophic event. We have Keith and Joan's storyline basically as a whole. I think it's important enough. They're the only real patients. So we have Richard and Catherine's big fight, and then ultimately their wedding, and included in that Bailey and her becoming chief. We have April and Jackson's breakup. We have Amelia's fight with Meredith and Derek's voicemail. We have Alex and Joe's fight about their home and the purchase of the loft. We have Maggie's parents' divorce, and then a reminder in post-op after we call time of death, we're going to talk about the new interns, including Andrew DeLuca. So I feel like we'll do first notes first, actually. Sorry. So actually, why don't you start out, Hannah? What's your first note of the first episode?
New interns, !! And then also, like, none of these guys laughs, actually, pretty much.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. I knew that just that, too. Brie, what's yours?
Mine was things are all swirling around her.
Yeah, it's because she was writing on the board, but it was showing us from like the other side.
Yes. Because it was all about time standing still and stuff. That's the monologue. Okay.
Yep. I'm going to suggest, because I feel like I've learned that the best part in the beginning is when we're like most fresh. So I feel like since you love Amelia so much, it might be nice to kind of start this chat with, Well, maybe we should start with the catastrophic event and then go into Amelia, because that has to, it started with that.
Wait, but Abby, what was your first note?
It was the same as yours. That I was like, Meredith is writing in air. So super cool.
Really good.
Wasn't she writing on an OR board?
Yes.
She but was. Like,
you could see it.
Oh, but
you
it's like see-through. Yes. It was very weird.
Mm-hmm. Let's maybe talk about the catastrophic event, just because that goes through the whole show. And I feel like a lot of the stories tie into that.
Yes.
Sounds good.
I think I blinked. And I don't, it wasn't until I saw the visual of what I believe to be a rock slide, I was like, I still don't know what happened. Can you, any of you tell me?
A tunnel on 99 collapsed during rush hour.
Yes. Ah, okay. That makes sense. It was like, they kept being like, we don't know why. It's a trauma. And then all of a sudden I was like, I still don't know why there's a trauma.
One line. It was like, everything was scary. Like all these people, there were like 13 people that like arrived dead, like dead on arrival. There were all these dead on arrivals. And then it was like commercial break. And because I have notes about like, what the fuck is going on? I don't remember this. And then there was one line of a tunnel on 99 collapsed during rush hour.
Okay, good. I feel better.
Yeah, it was also very confused. I was like, where are these dead bodies coming from? Like, what don't I remember from a season finale? And then when it was the tunnel one, I was like, oh, I remember this. I was like, this is actually a really good finale, but somehow it gets like, forgotten, the tunnel one or something. I don't know.
It totally gets forgotten because I don't remember this storyline at all.
Oh, really? See, I remember it, but I don't like, I couldn't have like picked it out of thin air and been like, oh, this is what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel. It ended up being better. I like that they focused on just that couple, you know? And I mean, there was also the young teenager boy that Owen did that like, fun, new, exciting surgery too. But the couple, I really appreciated them. And like, it reminded me of almost like back in the early Grays when they would do like the young woman and man who had like the pole between them. And you're pretty much like, there's a trauma, but we're focusing on just one storyline. So I appreciated that. But I feel like these traumas don't hit the same as like the ones that involve our doctors, you know, like the shooting or the plane crash. Like, it's like, oh, they have to take care of a lot of patients. It just doesn't quite hit as exciting as much. I don't know why.
For me, go ahead, Hannah.
Oh, I was just going to say that, like, I feel like it's partly because, like, Derek's death was kind of the season finale. Like, that's how I kind of think of it. And then it's just like, there's like these extra few episodes. So like, to me, it was like, these episodes was like Meredith, like hope or whatever, like moving on. But I also agree. I'm like, it wasn't really affecting everybody in that way. You're right. Like, definitely.
I felt differently. Like, I felt really attached to this storyline for some reason. I felt like, I don't know. Like, I was very, very emotional. And when we get into it and like really like talk about Keith and Joan's storyline, like I was surprised that I don't remember this storyline because I felt like very affected by it while watching it. And I don't know.
I was just thinking of, so just listeners, we don't do like a mega recap, but it's a couple and the man, they're recently engaged only because they're going to have a baby, like, but they haven't been together that, or are they even engaged? They just haven't been together that
long. No, they're
long.
Engaged. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. And she's pregnant and his name is Keith. Her name is Joan. They get separated. Joan gets to the hospital first and Keith is trapped inside of his car at the scene. And it reminded me, so he's upside down. Meredith is in there talking to him. It reminded me of that happening to the ambulance driver outside of, which is in the same spot as where that guy was when April brings him to the hospital. And in that case, that guy died. And in this case, he lives. And like, I feel like, again, like these episodes being about hope and Meredith moving on, I feel like the fact that this patient got to live felt also sort of like the show was choosing hope, you know?
Oh my gosh. I'm just like also connecting that to like the pole in him, because it was just like she was like I think she said at one point, she's like, I've seen worse. And she was like talking about like two people being impaled, not just one person being impaled, is kind of what I was thinking that I hadn't noticed before. But I bet you're right. It's totally related to the ambulance thing too. Like, I didn't even see that.
Yeah. It's just crazy that it happens in the same spot. You know what I mean? Like, because once April brings him there, like, that's exactly where it was. And instead of bringing, doesn't she bring the wife to come talk to him in the first one? And this one, she brought the baby?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, pretty interesting. I felt like Keith was such a great character. He was, like, funny and, like, I just, and his speech about all of the little things that he loves about Joan, it says Joan sleeps with her socks on. I wrote, so do I, which people think is I'm a serial killer. And he says, it's like I'm home. It's like she is my home. I should really tell her that. And that was just so, oh, so good.
Yeah, he made me, I have a note that this guy is making me so weepy. Keith, God damn you. And then I said, I swear to God, if Keith dies, I will not be okay. And I really didn't remember if he lived or died. And that's why I got very upset when they were like, you know, we'll get into April, but April's just kind of like, I've seen everything and I'm numb to it all. And you all can go back and I'll deal with this. And I was like, no, Keith, you can't give up. We can't give up on Keith. Which he ends up living. Thank God.
Yeah, which, I mean, we can kind of talk about what April, she's going to stay with him. And then just so for a while too, Joan, okay, so Joan is having, she like hurt her neck. And then she is also having a baby or having contractions. And the intern, who we'll talk about later, like removes her neck thing. And she, that scene where she cracks her neck was, or like dislocates it, was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Hannah. You're a nurse, and that sound you made is how I felt. So accurate. and so it was so sad, too, when she is in the elevator and they're trying to get her to the OR, and she just keeps saying, like, Keith should be here. And she's just crying. And that is just like, oh, it was just so sad. But I thought it was, like, great timing because she says that, and then the next scene is April showing up with the whole car and the guy there to make him closer to the hospital, which I have questions. One, that car ride could not have been pleasant. Like, there's no way you can drive without hitting bumps. And I'm just like, he is impaled by a car. Also, the music that was playing was like in Game of Thrones. Like, it was very like April standing on top of that car was like Daenerys, I feel like, looking upon all of her people. Like, it was so intense.
It was very superhero-y. Like, and even they were like the shot of her, like kind of looking up at her. It was like, oh, April's the god in this storyline, you know?
And then at one point, Maggie says they're like Olympians. I thought that
was hilarious. Yes.
She said it so intensely that I was like, it just sounds weird. It says, this is just giving me flashbacks to like season one when this is so like, I feel like such a fangirl that I know I remember this, but I remember you guys were talking about the episode where that girl has the same shoes as Meredith and she ends up getting raped and Meredith is like all like freaked out about it. And Bailey is like, we got the rapist. Yeah. And the way Bree said it was like, it was like you guys were talking about like SVU or something. And I was like, I've always noticed that whenever she said that, I was like, it just sounds so funny. Like the way she's saying it. And that just like reminded me of this. Is it?
Yes,
I think it's the second episode.
Oh, okay. I recently listened back to us. I don't know why. And I died laughing at that. It is funny. We were talking like Ice-T on SVU when he's like, we got the rapist. Yeah. So right.
When Maggie was like, we're like Olympians, but she said it like seriously. I was like, I can't handle this show sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes I take it a little above and beyond. It's like, Grace, pull it back. We don't need to go there. Yeah, but I mean, I know like it was a ridiculous storyline and they like drove this car, but like the underlying like string of love, I don't know, maybe I was just in a mood.
So good.
I was just like, oh my
great.
God, like he's fighting and he wants like they, and how he says like they did it backwards, or maybe she says it that they did it backwards. Like, I think it's her, like we got pregnant on the first date, and then they've spent these months like getting to know each other and they want to learn more about each other. And I was like, oh yeah. God, I just like, they seem to really love each other and like each other. And they're both not doing well. And I just want them both to be okay.
Well, and Keith, when Meredith brings out the baby for him, I love when he's like, I'm going to be really pissed if you don't pull this off. And I love that Mare's mm-hmm. like, me too. Yeah. You know, like she, and I think she means that. I have just a note about when Kepner brought out the car and everything. And Bailey's like, I like this Kepner. I never thought I would like this Kepner. Kepner the robot, Kepner 2.0. She's fierce. Like she just kept calling her Kepner the robot, which mm-hmm. a reboot. Sorry, not robot. Kepner the reboot.
You're the and robot, Abby.
I am the robot tonight. When April and Owen, I think it is, do the first part of the surgery and are, you know, I realize now, correct me if I'm wrong, Hannah, were they clamping all of the things that were like broken?
That's broken. A great question. I'm a labor and delivery nurse, so I deal with like babies being born. So less of insides being clamped, but I do get to like, I am in part of like C-sections and stuff. So like those clamps, I think they're just all clamping like open blood vessels. Because okay. I also wrote a note. I was like, damn, the amount of clamps in that belly is just a lot.
It was wild.
Yes. Yeah. Also,
what was that skin thing? Did anyone see that when he like they're like getting ready to take him through the hospital and he has all those clamps and then they're like peeling back like the door and there was like, was that his just like belly skin that was attached to it?
I did not see that.
No one saw that?
You made it up.
I think it was there. There's podcast goats out there who are like, yes, they absolutely tore off his like abdominal skin or something.
I'm sure.
I just don't think he had any because it was all impaled from the car.
Yeah. Ugh. It was so gross when Meredith kept saying like, we will rip him to shreds. I was like, he can hear you.
Yeah.
like that's just fighter. Like. Yeah. Also, so I'm jumping to Joan really fast. When Callie and Arizona were wheeling her slowly, it reminded me of the bomb episode. You know, like they were yes. holding her neck and like it showed the wheels like straightening out and then going. And I was like, oh, fuck, they're going to hit a bump. Like it just reminded me so much of that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was also like the amount of like weight that Keith had on him was similar to Lexi. I was just thinking about with the plane.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Guys, yeah. So many connections.
Well, I have this.
So many.
Well, I have this note. I said, I legit do not remember this. I guess things like this have happened so many times in Grey's. It is too many times to count and they all blend together. Like, I think that's part of the reason why, too, because like you were talking about, they're not like main characters. So we're talking about like Lexi having, you know, the airplane on her and stuff. And so we can make these connections. But for some reason, this one doesn't stick out. Also, maybe because there's just bigger season finales. And yeah. Derek just died, as Hannah said. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I think we were all, when we watched these in real time, like going through PTSD of Derek dying. And we were just like numb. And yeah. So none of us remember anything. Yep. So it was so cute. We'll talk about the interns in post-op with like when Stephanie Edwards cuts her neck open, which was gross also. I just have a note, don't love that. But at the end, when they, and you guys can go back if you have anything, but when they're laying next to each other and she's like, Keith, like, where is he? I love that Keith is like, he's so beautiful. He looks just like me. Like, just like fucking funny.
I love
like,
that.
He's a good, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Keith is so funny. I also wrote notes about that. And yeah, I also, back to what you said, Brie, like I have a note that's like, somehow I don't remember this finale, but I also, this is also amazing. And it's real Grey's, like awesome Grey's moments, like surgery outside yes. of the OR and mm-hmm. a trauma. And yeah, it feels very fairy boat-esque too with like the way the crime or mm-hmm. the crash was.
Totally. Yeah, I totally agree. I think we should like bring in Amelia into this storyline because I think it's kind of important, like the conversation ends up having with
yep.
Mare. So they're like Before April decides to bring the whole car to the hospital, Amelia, Maggie, April, and Gray are sent out to the scene to work on this patient, Keith. And they're trying really hard to make it work. And they just realize, like, there's no way of getting him out of there and getting him to the hospital in time before he bleeds out. So they send April's like, I'm like, we did the best we can. You all go back. And so they're getting out of the ambulance, and Amelia is really upset. And this is the part, I didn't remember this either, because I think last week, Abby, you had said like, oh, you know, Amelia is about to get mad at Meredith. And I didn't really know what you were talking about. I was like, yes. And it's like, totally, she is. I don't know what that means. And yeah, she starts getting super upset, and Meredith is just thinking she's talking about Keith. Like, we made the right call. We did the best we can, blah, 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 blah. And I have some of what Amelia says, but I don't know if someone has the whole thing.
Just read what you have. I have a couple.
It says, when are you okay making the call that someone no longer has any chance? How do you look around and decide that? When do you decide that you should walk away? And that's clearly about Derek. And at one point she says, I am a neurosurgeon. You didn't call me. I could have saved him.
Yeah. And Amelia says she should have been there. She can, I feel like this conversation quickly switches from Keith to Derek. I could have saved him. Amelia says that she could have been there and she can perform miracles. And this part's later, so I don't want to jump to that. But that conversation starts too. You can hear it because Meredith says it's the right call and they're all in that ambulance. And Amelia just goes, huh. You know, like, and you just know mm-hmm. that it's like a fight is building. Well, do you want to talk about Hannah, like what she talks about with Derek and like her not being there and able to say goodbye?
Yeah, let me just find my note on that quick. Sorry. I know I have a note.
No, you're fine.
All I had was just Amelia didn't get to say goodbye, basically. But yeah, I was kind of thinking about it and I was like, I'm surprised Meredith didn't like have him on life support and then have family come so they could say goodbye. And then I was like, that doesn't seem right. I mean, for the show, obviously, I feel like they just did it that way. But I do agree that Amelia should be mad. Like, she didn't get to say goodbye and he was on life support. He's still, I don't know, it's Meredith's decisions, but I still think that she should have let them say goodbye. Like, even her, like his mom too. Like, he has like three sisters, right? Four sisters.
Absolutely.
So I was just surprised that Meredith didn't, like, she just kind of did it on her own.
Which, I wonder if we don't know if he was in pain or not. Like, which I guess if you're, I don't know the ethics of that, so I don't even want to get into it. But I wonder too, like, if she, as a doctor, knew that there was no saving Derek, you know, like, and trusted mm-hmm. the doctors and looked at the reports and knew. And I think she would be afraid of Amelia doing what Amelia said she wanted to do, which is that she performs miracles, you know, and like doing all this exploratory stuff. But yeah, I honestly don't know if I can make a statement because I don't know how I feel. But yeah, Amelia, the way she says, how could you do it? How could you unplug him without letting me know? I didn't get to see him. I didn't get to tell him goodbye. And she sounds like a little kid crying. Like, her cry is so, mm-hmm. we talked like about in the last episode. Yes, we talked about in the last episode, like, everyone being their inner child, kind of. And I feel like Amelia goes from powerful, mad neurosurgeon to, like, sad little sister. You know, like mm-hmm. in just, like, it comes out in her voice.
Yeah, I think, I have a note that I said, it's not fair that Meredith didn't call Amelia. And I said, I don't remember this and it makes fucking sense. I would be devastated if I was the sister. And I think as a viewer, we're thinking about is, like, in that episode where Derek dies, we're thinking about Meredith losing the love of her life. But Derek was so much more than just a husband to Meredith. He was a brother. And it really isn't fair that she didn't contact Amelia. And we can go into a lot of different things about, like, trauma and, like, her response. But you think about like when people are dying and there's like a tragedy, usually you pick up the phone and you call someone, especially family. And I think Meredith realizes that. That's why she like, it's such a, she like, Ellen has this like, oh, I have said Ellen is such a good actress, and she scream cries. And I think because she realizes, like, I fucked up. Like, I was so involved in my own response to this that I didn't allow an opportunity, like, for his sisters to come, his mother, because she kind of took away an opportunity for them to, like, grieve, you know? And be there. So I think Meredith realizes she fucked up, and that's why she gives Amelia the cell phone for that message, because she's like, I didn't do what I should have done in this moment.
Yeah. I also feel like her crying, I never thought about it being feeling guilty about that, but that's a really good point. I think a part of it too feels like grief is kind of always right under the surface. You know, and like she has been like keeping herself together and like trying to like, you know, make this work. And it's like the second it gets brought up in a way, like it's right there. And I also was like, ugh, this is the grief that we didn't get to see that I'm sure she experienced all the past year, mm-hmm. which is why I'm like in retrospect, glad that Gray's like jumped a year, because I imagine a whole year would be like that at least, you know, like. It's just like, it felt very real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should we talk about the phone call, the voicemail?
Yeah, let's talk about it. I just want to add in the storyline that Meredith mentions very casually to Amelia that a realtor came and that there might be an offer on the house. And after that fight, Amelia's like, I'll be moved out now. I'll move out. And Mary's like, no, I didn't mean, like, you don't have to do anything right now. But of course, like, I feel like their lack of communication is, like, very apparent there. So they're at Richard and Catherine's wedding. And Meredith gave her the phone prior to and said, listen to this when you're alone. And I have a terrible, this is a very serious moment, but I said, when Owen comes in, you know, and he presses play on the voicemail because she can't bring herself to do it, what if he hit delete? I just kept thinking like, like those buttons are so close to each other.
Luckily
there's like recently deleted, right?
Yes, yes. Right, you can recover it, but that's funny. Yeah. Owen would.
Right. So Derek is on the ferry boat. This is our actual last view of Derek, like, which is really sad. Obviously, spoiler alert later on, but his hologram visits us sometime too. But he says, it may be the most perfect ferry boat ride I've ever had in my life. I love you. I love our family. And we're going to keep doing this. I'll see you when I get home. I love you. Also, the song that's playing is How to Save a Life, but it's like a cover of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Oh, it's just really good. And it's just like, I mean, I think it's beautiful for Amelia to hear him so recently, but also part of me would be like, he didn't mention me. Like, he's just talking about you.
I thought the same thing. Like, I was almost waiting for there to be like, I love my life. I love my sisters. I love my mom or something, you know, like some message for Amelia. But it was just like, I love you, Meredith, and I love our kids. And I would be like, thanks. I'm happy he was happy, but like, where am I in this message? But I think it's mostly just right. about hearing his voice again and hearing how happy he was. And so.
For sure. Which we'll talk about Maggie shortly. Maybe before we talk about that end scene with the three of them, let's talk about Maggie. Cause it's not super long what happens. Unless, do you guys have mm-hmm. any more things on Amelia, especially you, Hannah? She's your fave.
Just with the voicemail, I was going to say, I put like, I'm having so many GGBs. I'm turning inside out with that voicemail. but I feel like, Meredith and Amelia have such a weird dynamic because they process things so differently. And so mm-hmm. I really liked when Meredith had that scene. Was it in like the supply closet after Amelia like called her out and she just like threw stuff down and was crying and like she knew she messed up. And like, I think that was mm-hmm. cool of them to show because like when people are in grief and are in trauma and like traumatizing events, like you don't think properly. So I don't think her first idea was like, oh yeah, let me call the family, even though that's so typical. But like, I think how they kind of recovered it with, you know, she was just so traumatized that it just, she didn't do the right thing. And then she kind of tried to make up for it the best she could. I kind of liked that part.
Totally.
Yeah. That's a, you guys, I don't know how I didn't think of that. You guys both had that thought and I enjoy it. It like adds to that scene so much more. Have you guys ever watched How I Met Your Mother?
No.
No.
Okay. There's a character that dies, not like a main character, but someone that does. And there's like a voicemail aspect to that death where the person feels like they didn't get to say goodbye and it's really hard for them. And then they find a voicemail on their phone, you know, mm-hmm. and it's really like, I think it's more emotional than this one, the way it is, but I don't know. This is very morbid of me, but do you guys like I feel very sad when my voicemail fills up and I have to like delete some, like my grandma leaves me voicemails all the time because I suck at answering my phone. And I'm always like, I shouldn't delete this. Or even like just my parents, like but I like have to make room on my phone. So I don't, do you guys save any voicemails?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I save like older ones. And then when I have to get rid of some, I just get rid of like spam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have
Walgreens, they always call me.
I have some like happy birthday ones like from my dad on there.
Yep.
Or like I have like a voicemail from when John and I first started dating. yeah. So like,
cute.
Yeah. Very special. I should go back and listen to those.
You should save them to your like computer.
Oh, that's what can you do that?
I should have done. I'm pretty sure you can like send the audio mm-hmm. somewhere. So
yeah, you can, like text the audio and then it's like an audio file.
Oh my God.
That's so smart.
That's what I should do. Yeah.
I'm going to start doing that. Watch. No one's going to leave me voicemails. okay. So Maggie, the third sister here in the second episode, or is it towards the end of the first one. She is on the phone with her mom and she's crying. Spoiler alert. I thought it was the cancer thing.
So like, did I.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that started already. And so then in the beginning of the next one, she is talking to someone. I can't remember when this happens. And she says the words, it was a like complete surprise. And then Maggie starts like crying again. And I just love that Meredith as a sister, when I think Jackson's talking about Richard and Catherine, that like they're a clash of the Titans and like, you know, who knows, this is how they are. And like, and she's like, people should fight and not give up. And I, like, Jackson is like, what the hell? And I love that Meredith is like, it's just something else she doesn't want to talk about. And like, they both are very okay. Part. Like, to me, that's such a good friend, you know, that they're like, they're not okay right now, but let's not ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are we?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Are we talking about the end part where where Maggie finally talks to Meredith about it? So we find out her parents are getting a divorce, and that her mom has been having an affair with the man who services their cars for years and years and years. And they had stayed together because of Maggie. And then when she moved away, it was too much for her dad. And so they decided to get a divorce. And she didn't want to come to Meredith because she's had a really, like, easy life, she says. Like, I have people who love me. I haven't lost anyone. Like, and my parents have been together. And I'm an adult woman and they're getting a divorce. And I don't want to come to you and, like, burden you because you have all this shit going on in your life pretty much. And I love that Meredith is just like, you should always come and talk to me. I think that's a really good sister and a good friend and a good like just human who has like a different perspective and I feel like Meredith is like that to everyone. Like just, yeah, I have my shit, but come to me and I'll tell you how it could be much, much worse. So.
Well, yeah, I like she's like, chances are I've seen worse and I'm qualified to tell you that you will survive. Mm-hmm. I also love the quote that Maggie says, they wanted to preserve my happy, idyllic, pathetic, crap-filled lie of a childhood. Which like, it's just so great. And I love Amelia comes out. And it's like, what are you crying about? And Maggie just doesn't tell her and just says, what are you crying about? And they like sit together And like before that, Maggie leaned her head on Mare, and then Amelia leans her head on Maggie. And I just love that they're all together. And like even now in current Grays, like how much that sisterhood has become such a big role. It's fun to see that this is where it started, was through grief, kind of. And I also didn't realize they were at Meredith's house for that wedding until she said the thing like, this is how Derek would have wanted the house, you know?
You didn't realize that was the house?
No, like not at first. I don't know why my brain didn't compute that. And then they dance it out, which is just the first time that Mare's danced it out without Christina.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I love that, that she's like, okay. Like, Meredith is the one who's like, okay, we have to dance it out. Like, we can't just, like, sulk on the, you know, the deck right now. And they go in and they dance. And I have not been a fan of these weird freeze frame things throughout this season. But I loved this last frame that Meredith is in the front and the two sisters in the back and they're smiling. And I just said, I love that last frame, the three sisters healing. Wow. Like, I just thought it was a beautiful way to end the season of like joy on everyone's faces through terrible, terrible things.
Yeah, they're all choosing to be in their feelings. You know, like Amelia didn't choose to take the drugs and avoid, you know, like they're going through their grief. And I think that that is really important.
Yeah, but even beyond like going through the grief, I think what's so powerful to me is that they're joyful. Like you can like, you can have both and like they, you know, it's fluid and it comes up in certain moments. And yeah, like you said, like choosing to be in their feelings and like they're having a moment of joy. And I think that's just so powerful that. Mm-hmm. And then it goes along with the monologue that what's hurt can be healed, that no matter how dark it gets, the sun's going to rise again.
And the sun.
I love that quote.
You is, remember how he is not the sun, you are.
Yeah.
So like the sun is going to rise again. Meredith is going to be cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool. She's super cool.
She's super cool. I thought you meant like popular. And I was like, she already is. She's an attending.
Yeah.
She's going to get through this and rise again. Yeah, I want to pay more attention to every time the monologue or things refer to the sun because I think it's very purposeful. Maybe we talk about quick.
Well, Hannah, did you have any thoughts on the end of the episode?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, totally agree with you guys. Like, I like how, they were playing all the classic songs. Like Abby mentioned, they played How to Save a Life. They played Chasing Cars at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It was like another cover version. And I was waiting for the, like, Stand Down. But that never happened. So it's kind of disappointed about that one. But like how they were talking about like happiness after hurt. And I think that's so like appropriate, especially for times right now too with COVID and everything. Like, yeah, there's a lot of like trauma in life and sadness. And we have a lot of grief right now to hold on to because we've had a lot of loss this year or the last year. But like, there's still joy, you know, it doesn't take away that fact. And I think like, I really like how, I know some people don't really like Derek as much, but I think he was like the perfect character to set Meredith up to be like her own independent person. Like, I love that now it's like Grays from like season 12 on. I feel like it's Meredith finding herself. Meredith like is a powerhouse. Meredith is doing what's right for her. And then like relationships are secondary, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that was kind of, I feel like that was like a huge piece of it. Like, I hate that Derek died, but I also love it because I feel like it gives her a chance to be her own self without like trying to do what Derek wants or live under his career. So I really liked that they kind of, I feel like they touched on that with like the sisters and everything dancing.
Absolutely.
I think so. I love that. I also was just trying to imagine a world like if Derek hadn't died, like how Meredith could win the Harper Avery and have it not be problematic where there'd be some sort of jealousy with Derek, you know, like I think, yeah, like you're right. There's the things we have to celebrate with her upcoming are like her finding her joy, her finding her greatness. And we don't have to be worried about how Derek reacts or how, you know, like you're right. Like it just gets put to the forefront. So I just, in rewatching this finale, I feel very grateful with how they set us up to get ready for like the new, basically it feels like a new era of Grey's, you know?
Yeah. Like Grey's without Derek, I feel like almost.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Perfect. I wonder if we should talk about April and Jackson just because April and that event, the Keith and Joan storyline, kind of, that's where it sort of shined. There wasn't like too much of them. I feel like we got to see April just how she's changed. Even like when the trauma's coming in and all of the dead bodies are coming in, they're, you know, all, I think it's like Chief, Maggie, and I can't remember the other person are like, they're maybe Amelia, and they're like, there could be some that are alive, you know, like, and she's just like, it's not gonna be like, she's just very like cynical and like very dark and like very focused. I don't know if you guys noticed that in the beginning at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have my first note of like the episode 25 was April's cynicism somehow turned into like incredible optimism of, okay, I brought him to the hospital, we're gonna save him now. Like it was a complete like 180 of how she was viewing the situation.
Absolutely. And Jackson says to Hunt in the first episode that April's different since she came back from her training. And Jackson says, we're just not on the same page anymore, ever, it seems. Which, like, setting us up just to realize that, like, even since she's been back, things still aren't great between them. There's another conversation with April where she tells Hunt that all she thinks about is being in the field. I think it's when they're working on Keith with all the clamps. And you can just tell that she's like really thriving in doing that. What about Bree? Do you want to talk about when like Jackson talks to her at the end?
Yeah. I just want to quickly say that, and I know you mentioned this earlier, Abby, but like when Bailey says Kepner 2.0 is crazy and fierce and womaned up. And I think that's a big thing too, is she feels less like a like little girl or like really like spazzy. She feels like a confident woman who is good at her job and knows how to get shit done. And so after they save Keith, April wants to go back. It's April and Jackson are talking, and like April has something she wants to say to him, but she doesn't know how. And like Jackson's like, you want to go back. And she does. And Jackson ends up telling her, like, you know, like he's like supportive of her doing that. But he says he loves her so much, but he can't be here for her when she comes back. Which is, I think, really difficult because I think he does absolutely love her. He absolutely sees that she needs this, but he also understands that he can't be a part of that. And that's like very in tune and in touch with your own emotions and your capacity to be a part of this journey. And, you know, April ends up kind of like, there's like this very like back and forth talking over each other where April's like, it's only going to be a couple months. It's not going to be a year this time. And we end up hearing that like April, Jackson says that she got to have her life altering journey. And I silenced myself so you could grieve. And she says, if you needed to grieve. And he said, I did need to grieve. I needed to grieve with you. Which I also think is so sad because it's just another moment of two people missing each other. She had to leave and grieve in her own way. It's kind of like a mirror of what, you know, Meredith had to do, and Jackson had to do it all alone, and he never wanted to do it alone.
Yeah.
I was reading this or listening to a podcast recently, and they were talking about how this is like a really intense topic, but how people don't often get like divorced because their children die or something. It's because they grieve differently and think the other person should grieve like either the same way they do or in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I felt like that was so much the case here. Like, it seems like Jackson at this point, he's like understanding that April needed to grieve in this specific way. But I feel like April is, and that I think she needed to do that. But then also, I feel like April is just kind of like naive about the fact that Jackson also needs to do his grieving. So it's like, how do you both do what you need to do? And like, if you need to stay a couple, how do you do that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And ultimately I feel like they're both choosing themselves, which isn't always a bad thing. Like you said, like, mm-hmm. I mean, like Jackson is, it knows what he needs. And also April knows what she needs, and like their own like ability to get through life is more important than sacrificing that for the other person, which is really sad. But I feel, and I don't remember how it plays out from here, but it feels very like, it feels even more sad when a breakup is like not because they don't love each other. You know, it kind of feels mm-hmm. like Owen and Christina in a way, you know, I mean, less volatile, I feel like, but like they loved each other. It wasn't that was not for the issue. Mm-hmm. So it's so sad to me when she is watching Richard and Catherine's wedding and just like weeping.
Mm.
I just feel like it'd be real hard to go to a wedding when yours is ending. And her crying in the chapel with Arizona is also like their friendship has been around for so long. And it even made me really emotional when Arizona kept saying to her, I know. And April was like, I know, you know, like, cause I mean, same with Arizona and Callie, like it was just something like that too. And I just think I think that's the best thing that can happen when someone is upset is like Arizona wasn't, and it was just a quick scene, but she wasn't like trying to tell her it'll be okay. She was just sitting with her in the sadness, which is what I think people need the most.
Yeah. Yes, I think totally that agree. That scene was really beautiful. It's like you said, it was just like a blip of a moment with April and Arizona. But I have that same exact note about like where she says, I know, I do. And it's like, yeah, she really does. She knows exactly what that feels like. For someone that you love to say, I don't think I can do this anymore. And that's really painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hannah, do you have anything else on April and Jackson?
April and Jackson, they always frustrate me because I feel like they could have this like amazing fairy tale relationship, but I feel like their communication is just, it just frustrates me. I just like can't watch it. I'm like, I'll need to go to couples therapy or something. I don't know. I don't even know if that would help.
Okay,
them,
wait.
But
they have a child, so they don't break up right away, do they?
I honestly don't remember.
Oh, she, okay. I think I know. I think they're about to like, the day that they're going to file for divorce, she learns out she's pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And that's she doesn't tell him, and then she tells Arizona instead, and then he gets mad.
Catherine mad. It makes Catherine really mad too, because it has like
yes,
doesn't because of the money thing
and how they were good. Yeah, and raise the child like with what religion and like
yes. Oh God, here we go.
Yeah, that whole thing.
God, this is why I need a pause before season 12 because there's just so much that has to happen.
We got it.
I'm not ready to see Meredith get punched in the face, to be honest.
Oh my God, I know.
Okay, so let's talk about Richard and Catherine. So I feel like it was best described. Okay, well, so first of all, best thing that I did not remember, so they're getting married and Bailey is Dr. Weber's best man and Jackson is the maid of honor. And I feel like that is such a funny, comedic little thing. And I love that Jackson is just eating food while his mom's getting ready. And she's like, you are not helpful to me.
Yes, I love that. I was like, Jackson is me at fancy events, like finding the food and that's all.
Yes. And the trauma comes in, and I love this moment. This was before the fight, but Richard comes in, and Brie, are you okay over there? Okay, comes in, and I feel like he is thinking like, oh shit, I'm in trouble. I should be getting ready for my wedding, and instead she is actually looking for scrubs. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is reason number 537 why we are made for each other. And I just said that's so different than how Adele would have reacted. And then they get like real mushy with each other. And I just loved Bailey being like, oh God, get me out of here.
Well, the thing is she was like, Bailey just was standing there listening to Richard and Catherine talk dirty. I was like, walk away. Why are you putting yourself in this situation?
And she just coughs and she's like, there are people dying. And they spread up. And that is like the last that we see them happy until their wedding, because then, which I don't need to go into depth, the storyline isn't super important, but Owen, you know, wants to do that thing where they put the kid into hypothermia to try to save him.
Which
and
is wild.
Richard ends up... Yeah, mm-hmm. super wild. And Richard ends up kind of being the deal breaker person to make the choice, or at least one of them. And Catherine said, like, absolutely not. You are not doing this, not to a child, not without consent. And Richard goes against her. And I was like, oh, snap, Richard, on your wedding day, you went against Catherine Avery. Like, what are you thinking?
Well, I think the telling thing is that, like, it's like one simple thing, like how they would, like, agree on how to do a surgery. Like, they can't even agree on that. And that's what's, like, literally they're not together now because of this one surgery, or they decided to, like, postpone because of this one disagreement. I was like, I think there's some other issues that might be going on besides just this one surgery.
Yeah.
They're a little problematic. I feel like they're, well, I mean, like what Jackson said, it's like two, he says what, let's two, the Clash of the Titans, they both want to be the boss. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're just not used to that. She says to, well, Richard says that when push comes to, he's talking to Bailey, his best man, and says, when push comes to shove, I'll always choose the work. Like, that's my problem. And then he also says to Catherine, you never ask, you only tell. That's when they're, like, fighting, and everyone, including, like, Keith, who's got a car impaled in him, like, you know, like, just stops watching. And, like, watches them fight. I just thought that was crazy and absurd.
They make such a big scene. And then she ends up giving the ring back to him in front of everyone. Like, literally, they're cutting Keith out of the car and everyone, like, goes silent and is watching them break up on their wedding day.
Yes.
I just have a bunch of notes like, oh, the drama. Like, it's just so dramatic.
My note is, I'm zoning out because Catherine and Richard are fighting for the 100th time.
Yet again.
Like, oh, and now everyone is staring at them and, oh, damn, she gave him the ring back in front of everyone.
The drama.
So dramatic. The drama.
That's a great chain of thoughts. Also, I felt bad for Bailey in that moment. So, like, they have that fight and then Richard comes in and he's just like, I will not bow down to dictators. You will be chief. Like, you're the next chief or whatever. And I just felt bad for her because, like, obviously then it's not quite solidified, we find out. But also I feel like Bailey has been working her whole life for this moment. And it's told to her in such a, like, I'm pissed off and I'm going to use this against my possible wife. And the only thing that makes it okay is the way Ben reacts to her. Like, it is so cute. Like, when that guy walks by and he's like, hi, have you met? This is my wife, Dr. Miranda Bailey, chief of surgery. Like, it's so, I love seeing a man so excited for his wife's accomplishments.
Totally.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the Meredith moment?
Yeah, go for it.
Meredith pretty much tells Richard and Catherine to shut the fuck up and get their shit together because she's like, I would give anything to be able to pretty much fight and, like, so figure it out, figure your problems out, talk about this and, like, move on because you're alive and you have each other. It's kind of like one of those life speeches, you know? And so I'm proud of them. They do. They, like, get together and they, like, negotiate these things that are, like, big deals to them. Like, we're not going to bring work home. And, like, but then, you know, there's that, like, flirty, like, it's not going to enter the bedroom, but anywhere else, you know, like, okay. But
the rules.
Yeah. But the thing that I love, and we can talk about Bailey and stuff, but the thing that I love is Richard ends up saying to Catherine, like, you need.
I have it all written down.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Don't have.
Yeah. I just have a quote.
He says, I will provide a safe harbor. You need a place to not be Catherine Avery, to not be decisive, set agendas, and rise to the level of accomplishments that the world has come to expect from you. You need a place to fall apart. I will be that place. And then it's like a pause, and he says, should you require it, dot, 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 in perpetuity, which means forever. I had to look that up. But I just thought it was so, to me, that is like such a great vow thing, you know, mm-hmm. like, and And I just thought it was really special. And there's times when I think they're like, oh my God, are they, they're so volatile together. But then he says things like that, and I don't know how I feel. But I also liked that when they were negotiating, like Richard's negotiations were like, I want to celebrate Valentine's Day. Like it wasn't like, and hers were like things to do at the hospital. And I just thought it was funny, like what they were going against each other with.
I do love though that he was like, and she was pretty much bending on all the things he was saying. And then he was like, I want, like Bailey to be the next chief of surgery. And she was like, there needs to be one candidate like that she goes up against and she proves, and then the board votes and approves it or whatever. And I like that Richard was like, that seems fair. So like it was a give and a take too, because you'd expect Richard to be like, no, I want Bailey. But he gave in a little bit too, you know?
Yeah. Like I feel like it gives me hope for their relationship, although now knowing what like happens, maybe not so much, but like hope that they can like work through things. And I was getting GGBs when they started solving their marriage. So
yeah,
was like maybe this is a good sign, but
yeah. And then they're at the wedding, which we don't really get to see the ceremony, which is, I feel like that thing he says is sort of like their vows. And
I love, can I just say at their wedding, I love that they walk down the aisle together.
So do I. It was special.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Richard ends up telling Bailey that she does have to run against one other candidate. And this is such a good scene. Ben is sitting behind Bailey.
Yes, with I love his this. Back,
yes, with his back to us. And Bailey says, I am going to wipe the floor with him or her. And she like tries to, I forget what she's saying. And she like can't figure out what
she's
word.
Like,
and then
I got you. It's like, she's like, if anybody, like, she means to say disagrees, but she forgot that word.
Yes.
So then Ben adds in disagrees. And she's like, disagrees.
I love that. Like, he's like the silent supporter. Like, he's, like, listening to everything she's saying and ready to jump in if she needs help. And I just thought it was, like, perfect. And then she's like, it is. And then Richard says, like, damn right it is. Like, and then like he goes off dancing. Like, so it leaves us wondering, will she become chief? Will she not? And who's going to be this other candidate? And I just love Ben and Bailey in that moment. It's so great.
Yeah.
I feel like Bailey was a big comedic relief throughout these episodes.
Yes.
Like, I've always, like, if when you guys asked, like, favorite storyline, I almost, like, included, like, I love when Bailey's all, like, the aliens are going to come and take over the universe. Like, she's always, like, ready for an apocalypse, I feel like.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, and kind of like when Richard and Callie had that moment of, like, into the darkness. Like, she, like, appears out of nowhere. Like, I don't even know when this was. But just, like, all these stupid, like, moments. Like, these are honestly what make Grey's Anatomy so good. Is, like, it'll, like, talk about something so traumatic, like Derek dying or like their marriage falling apart. And then there's all these like funny little bits in. And Bailey is just so funny when she's either like terrified that the end of the world is coming, or like, not when she had like OCD, that was a different thing, but like with her like apocalypticness. And then when she's like really bubbly, she's also just so funny.
She has so many good,
she's
like
a great character.
One-liners and quips and stuff. Yeah. She's, yeah.
I was going to say knock on wood, I'm glad that she's never had a near death experience, but like she did have a heart attack and the shooter did pull her out from under the bed. So she has had some.
Yeah.
But she hasn't been like mega injured, which makes me really happy. Cause I love her, protect her at all costs.
Mm-hmm. That kind of makes me nervous though, that it's going to happen then.
I know. No, I think we're too close to the end now. It's gotta be okay. So we have just Alex and Joe's to talk about, which there's not too much, so we can bop through this. And we have a lot of notes and trivia, so I just want to make sure, because there's just a lot to share and discuss, because it's the end of a
season. Sounds
good. Joe got a haircut. Anyone else notice?
No, I didn't notice that.
No?
What? It's like a lob. Like, she used to have such long hair, and it's like whoever cut April's also cut hers. They have, like, the same haircut. Joe mentions to Alex that she might maybe want to go to Jordan. I believe that's where they were going, like what Owen and April did. And Alex says he's not living in a tent. And she's like, I lived in a car. And he's like, a car is not a tent. It has doors. I'm not going. I love that Alex is just like, he knows what he wants also.
Mm-hmm.
he gives that little speech that just says, like, I have finally found my place and it's at this hospital doing this job with these people. I don't need to go anywhere. I don't want to. I put roots down here. I'm not walking away, not from this, which, you know, it's hard to hear him say I'm not walking away when obviously that does happen. But I don't think that it was meant to happen. You know, like,
That's my note. It's like, God damn, Karev ends up walking away from all of this. He puts roots down, but not deep enough.
That's amazing.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I wasn't even, like, thinking about that. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm just... Lies. It's just all lies.
It's all lies.
It's all tragic.
I do love and feel bad. So on the one hand, I love that, like, you know, Meredith is really struggling. She doesn't want to be in the home with the kids and she wants to come and stay with Krev for a while and bring the kids and stuff. And I love that he is so quickly like, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's no problem. Mm-hmm. I'm like, he's become her person. It's not a thing. I love that mentality. I feel like I hold that in my life of like, yeah, absolutely. You want to bring your three children to come live at my house? That's great. That will just work fine for me, sure. But on the other hand, I do feel bad for Joe because that would just suck and not really be included in that discussion or... Yeah, I mean, I don't even think it's about like Meredith and the kids. It's just about like... creating a life and not being included in choices and stuff, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like Meredith and three children. That's not just like one other person taking a room. And so I feel like Joe has every right to be upset about it, especially because Karev did not even bring it up to her. He even said to Meredith, don't worry about Joe, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's weird. He didn't like talk to her about it at least.
Mm-hmm. Right. He ends up saying to her, which I love, he's like, the sad widow is my friend, my best friend. And he says, too, that he wants to put down roots with Joe, a family, and a dog. Like, it's all supposed to be with you. I thought you got that. I didn't think I had to say that. And I feel like you expect Joe to be like, oh, okay. But instead, she, like, is just like, okay. And he's like, where are you going? And she's like, I need to think about what I want, which I also think is really, like, good. Like, yes, you should take a minute to think about what you want before, you know, saying yes to this or making a big choice. And I feel like Joe does things thoughtfully in relationships. She doesn't like dive into them too soon, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, she's been like burned too many times. But I feel like almost her when she was like saying, you know, I need to think about things. I have a feeling she was just like, you know what? I want to be with Alex. Alex wants to be with me. Why are we not like, you know, this is a solution, you know, like Meredith can have the house and we'll live at this apartment. Like, I feel like they just needed a second to like brainstorm and then be like, ah, yes, we still can do this. You know, it's still possible.
Yeah. I love.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Abby.
Go ahead, Bree.
Oh, no, you go. I love that. That is Joe's solution, is like pulling Alex away. And, you know, I have enough in my savings, almost enough to like buy this loft. And he's like, it's a crime scene. She's like, just like, you know, like envision this with me. Like, if you want to join in on this, like sell Meredith her house back. Oh, because also too, at one point, Meredith is telling Karev, like, can Amelia come too? So now it's Amelia coming to move in. And it's
right.
Yeah. And it's just like, sell Meredith her house back and then they can have their own space and we can create our own space. And I love that. That's such a great solution.
Yeah. And also How to Save a Life is playing. It's just so cute. She ends up saying, I love you to him. And he's like, you've never said that before. Mm-hmm. Or you never said that. And she's like, I didn't think I had to. And so that is sweet too. Also big movement for them. So again, it's sort of a happy season finale, you know, like it's not too dark in like too many ways, you know? I really liked it.
Yeah. Oh, there was one part about selling the house that I can't remember if we mentioned, but like Meredith decided that that was like, this was the last gathering she wanted in her home because like Derek would want it to be filled with people and laughter. And that's how she wanted to remember her home. So that led us into like sell Meredith her home back. She's going to leave her beautiful mountain home, which I get. It makes sense.
Fucking crazy.
But goddamn it. Fucking
crazy.
It's so beautiful.
Wait, so is she in current Grays? I mean, obviously she's at the hospital, but is she in her old house?
Yeah, she's in Alice's like house. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember, which is another great way, I feel like, for the show to like be like, we're starting anew again. Meredith is back where she started.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And also, it was probably too expensive to have that set of the
the green screen of the Seattle. Okay. So before we get into everything else, and again, we're going to talk about the interns and post-op. Do you have any random notes, Hannah or Brie?
Ooh, let me take a look here. I know I do.
Yeah. I have a random note, and I think we kind of talked about this, but I love so much that Bailey was the best man.
Yes.
I think that's so great. And I also love that Jackson was the maid of honor and was like eating a scone or something, like really not being helpful by any means, but was like, nah, I'm like supposed to be here and support you. And I thought that was a very funny scene.
So good.
I liked how, oh, I have a note that I think the same elevator where they like were delivering Joan's baby was the same elevator where like DeLuca cut open that woman and her baby.
Oh, really?
It seemed like the same one because like that one intern had to hold it for so long. And I feel like that hallway was like the same area where like DeLuca had that thing. But I could be totally wrong.
That fucking intern in the elevator. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in the post-op.
I know. I gotta.
I was just all gonna say, like, I also love how, like, all the women or all the head surgeons of, like, the departments were all women, which I didn't even, like, notice. And I was just like, yes.
Love
that. But yeah, I think that was, I really did love the story with like Keith and Joan though. I think it was just such like a good classic Grey's like storyline. And I really liked how they did it. And I liked how when Joan was in the elevator and she started to get feeling back, how it was like her feet and then her like legs and then it was like her uterus.
Oh my God. Yeah.
There it is.
To try to have a contraction without moving.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, that just looked
with her legs rough. Like so. Straight. Like I feel like she like gave birth with her legs straight. Like
which
I don't
is
know
like the worst way to give birth. Like you know, we've learned that there are so many other better positions to be in, but laying on your back is the worst way to give birth. So
yeah, try taking a shit laying with your legs straight. I feel like it'd be really hard.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've never given birth, so that's the closest that I can come.
I mean, seeing a bunch of people give birth, I'm like, that is not how it happens ever. You know, like even if you're in an elevator, it wouldn't happen that way. But it's so funny, like watching Grey's Anatomy now that I am a nurse, because I have been for like the last 2 years. So it's like all these things I'm watching, I'm like also like, okay, that's not accurate. I'm like trying to like not get so critical, but I'm like, oh my God, of course she's hemorrhaging. They haven't massaged her uterus. You know, like, so it's so hard to watch it sometimes with like stuff that I'm like familiar with. It's kind of fun.
Oh my gosh. Sometime off the show, I just have so many questions because you've seen births in so many of them. And I just would love to know everything.
I'll take you through every gory detail.
Would love it. There was a TikTok Jake showed me today, and it was so funny. I think it's like one of the new trends of it, where it was like, I turned all the things my husband said to me during birth into inspirational posters, and they were so bad. Jake was like, I will never say these things to you. But it was like, one of them was like, if it makes you feel any better, my back hurts too. There was one that was like, they say getting hit in the balls is just as bad. Or it was like, this Subway sandwich is really good. I wish you could, or it sucks that you can't have any. There was just all these like things. And it was very funny. It's like playing with inspirational music and it's great.
That actually, I've had couples like literally push to the song Push It before.
I
choose a different song, but that's funny.
I feel like this is kind of like,
it was comedic.
I feel like this kind of happened with like my mom. I'm the fourth child. And so I think my mom knew her body really well by that point. And also labor tends to be shorter with the fourth child. And so my mom like told my dad, I cannot imagine my husband saying this. My mom said, you need to go get the nurse. I need to push. And my dad said, you don't need to push. And she said, I need to push. And he was like, you don't need to. And so he got, and she was like really mad at him. So he got up, and her part of the story is he sauntered and like slowly got a nurse. And I was, and everyone's always like, well, how did you know that? And she's like, the doctors told me. I'm like, okay, well, that, I don't know about that part. But yeah, the nurse came in, they were like, oh my God, you need to push. And he like looked very shocked. And I just feel like men can be such idiots. And that was his fourth time being around for that, yes. You know, like.
Oh, I have people who like sometimes with like a first time mom, they'll be pushing for like 2 to 3 hours. Like it can be a long time, and we'll like start pushing and you can tell it's just going to be a while. And I once had a dad like go into the bathroom and he came back out and things clearly weren't like happening really fast. So I was like, oh, you missed the baby. And he's like, oh, really? Oh, my gosh. And I was like, no, it was just a joke. I'm so sorry. Like, this is going to be a few more hours, dude. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Oh, that's funny. I used to be really like I was having moments of sadness that Jake is going to do an OB rotation for paramedic school and like see births. Cause I was like, oh, mine won't be the first. But after hearing some of these, I'm like, actually, I think it's great. Like he's going to witness some things and know what not to say.
Yeah.
At least I hope.
Exactly. Exactly.
I envision my birth just, you know, like the witchiness of just a bunch of women like in a circle around you breathing like with you, and just leave all the men outside. I don't need them.
It's
I don't
gonna
want
be like,
them.
That's, did
that
you,
sounds great. Yeah.
Did you see Midsommar with Florence?
No, Hugh? That's what that was like the conversation that I was having with a friend the other night about
yes. That scene where all the women are crying. We're all going to be screaming when you scream.
Yes. It's like Handmaid's Tale too. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Any other random notes, gang, before we finish up? We still have a lot to do, but finish this part.
Oh, I do have Bailey teaching moment to Edwards to tell her to raise her intern ducklings.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in post-op because, yes.
Oh, yeah, you guys have the post-op. Yes, I forgot about that.
No, it's okay. You can do it with us. So, okay, let's alternate notes and trivia. Sounds good, Bree?
Yes.
There's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, this episode's title originated from the song Time Stops, originally sung by Explosions in the Sky, who I love so much.
The episode scored 7.74 million viewers.
This episode is a first part of a two-part finale.
Curiously, Arizona knows the intern speech performed by Richard Byhard as well. She has never been given the speech as she didn't come to Seattle Grace until her fellowship. It's most likely she has heard the speech in previous years.
The same could be said for Ben Warren as he began his surgical internship at UCLA. However, as he has been a resident for several years, he also could have heard the speech from prior years or heard it during his years as an attending anesthesiologist at Seattle Grace Mercy West.
Filming for the episode, blah, 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 was scheduled April 13th and 24th.
Yes, yeah. Sorry. Goof. In the scene where Meredith breaks down after her argument with Amelia, she is clearly shown picking up the stack of paperwork and stethoscope that she threw onto the floor and cradling them in her left arm and wiping her nose with her right hand. However, immediately afterward, we see her wiping her eyes with her left hand, then hear the items drop as she starts to wipe her eyes. This is so
yeah,
dumb.
No, I noticed. That's so but I noticed that, and I almost made a note about that. She goes and she picks up all of the stuff, and then she, like, leaves the room without it. I was like, what's happening?
Oh.
It's really weird. She throws it on the ground, picks it up, and then like wipes her eyes and leaves. It's like, where's all the shit? So I did notice that one.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
The only thing I noticed was like, with like a goof of some point was like at Keith, like he had blood coming out of his mouth. And then like a scene later, he didn't.
Yeah.
So that was my only one. I don't know if they mentioned that or anything.
I don't think so, but maybe because we have a couple more. But so this episode marks the first appearance of, I don't know how to say his name.
Giacomo Giannotti.
Thank you. As Andrew DeLuca, who is later promoted to part of the main cast in All I Want Is You.
And for the next one, this episode's title originated from the song You're My Home, originally sung by Billy Joel.
It scored 8.33 million viewers.
It features a special ending title card showing Meredith, Maggie, and Amelia dancing at the house in the background.
The loft space scene was shot at Lacey Street Studios.
Promotional photos show Owen and Amelia kissing in Meredith's bedroom, but that piece of the scene was cut from the episode.
Derek's final phone call was actually filmed on the ferry in Seattle. Oh.
Love that. This is the last episode of the series to feature the Dream House.
This episode marks the final appearance of Patrick Dempsey as Derek Shepherd until The Center Won't Hold and the last time he is credited as a main cast member.
This is the second time in the show's history that the season finale includes a wedding following the season 3 finale.
The DVD of the 11th season features an extended version of this episode. Extended scenes include Joe and Alex entering the loft. Alex wants to turn on the lights, but Joe tells him not to. Alex jokes it might scare off the murderers in there, but Joe explains they're not actually supposed to be there.
An extended version of the scene when Jackson gives April the ultimatum.
An extended version of the scene where Jackson tells Meredith and Maggie about the problems between Richard and his mother.
An additional scene of Stephanie yelling at her interns for potentially paralyzing Joan and Bailey interfering, sending all of them, including Stephanie, to the ER to do scut work.
An extended version of the scene where Stephanie finally allows her interns to ask questions.
And an extended version of the scene where Catherine and Richard make agreements. The additional material shows them agreeing to share a house in Boston as well as one in Seattle because neither of them wants to move. That is very true to character, yeah. I feel like. Okay, so we don't have to read all of these. These are just the season 11 in general notes and trivia. I feel like one of the big ones I read was that, like, obviously this is our first season not to feature Sandra Oh. There's a thing there. Shonda tweets that she did a lot more writing on this season than she had done before, which I think is really important because I feel like it felt like a really good season. Apparently, Ellen Pompeo colored her hair darker so it would correlate with Meredith's dark storylines.
Oh.
Crazy. And also, the picture of Meredith on the DVD cover is an altered version of the promotional still from the season 7 finale, and it's the first time that the whole cast hasn't been on the DVD cover, and it's just been Meredith.
Interesting.
So I feel like they're really trying to make a shift. Also interesting, this was like the last one, that they stopped using film and switched to digital shooting as of this season, which I think that's why it looks a little different.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about it looking different later versus some of, like, obviously the pilot, a lot of that was shot on film. So very interesting.
And then this is interesting. Advertisers paid $149,000 to air a 30-second ad during the commercials. That's interesting.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So much money.
Hannah, it's our
Catherine Fox Award.
Favorite part. Who do you nominate for the Catherine Fox Award?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, wow, I forgot that you guys asked about this. Oh, my goodness. This is a stressful moment. I mean, I would have to say, I feel like I need to say Meredith because she's, like, finding herself and, like, moving on without Derek. Yeah, I don't know. What did you guys say?
I mean, I'm going to agree with
either
you.
Either that or Keith. Maybe Keith.
I was going to say Keith.
You know, you know what? I might go with April, actually. She was like a badass and she knew what she wanted. I don't know. Oh my gosh. Okay, it's between like April and Meredith and Keith for me.
Yeah.
the trifecta. I was going to say Meredith though too because she did operate on Keith as well, like, and did all the talking and got him to meet his baby, which I think made him want to fight. So I'm sticking with Meredith. Also, she's on the DVD cover for the whole season. She's an MVP.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Meredith just because, like, she is the one who, like, picked herself back up. And she found a way to mend things with Amelia. And then she brought them all out on that deck to dance. And that end title card scene is her, like, finding joy again. So I'm going to say Meredith.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What about,
yeah, that's a good choice.
How many scalpels do you give it out of 10?
Oh, okay. You know what? I like would rewatch it probably right now even. Like, it was good with, like, the storyline. I'm going to say, so it's the two episodes together,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to go with a 9.
Perfect. Brie, what about you?
I was going to give a 9 as well.
So was I, because I gave the episode prior a 10, the flashback one, and I feel like I liked that one better than these, but this was still super high up there. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 as well.
Mm-hmm.
lovely. We'll say goodbye to Hannah in post-op officially, but thank you so much for being here.
Well, before we do, we have to do boards.
What? Oh my God, boards, my favorite part, and I forgot it.
What are you into right now, Hannah? What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you reading? What are your recommendations?
Okay, so many things. In terms of like, I guess, okay, Netflix, Seaspiracy is really good. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen it show up.
Kind of about, you've seen what?
I've seen it show up, like on, you know, like it popped the documentary. Yes.
Yeah, I felt like it was really well made. And I don't like the title because it makes it sound like it's a conspiracy, but it's really not. It's just like, it's like a documentary on facts, but it's like about kind of like the whole planet. And so I thought that was like totally life changing. So I highly recommend that one. Obviously, The Queen's Gambit was so good. Mm-hmm. But right now, I would say... I think you guys have mentioned this one before, but Brené Brown's podcast, Unstoppable.
Yes.
Or is it Unstoppable? Is that what it's called?
Unlocking remember. You.
It's unlocking. Called, it's unlocking, called unlocking Us.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yes. Close. We'll get it there all together, all of us. but yeah, her podcast, I like. I like the Moth podcast as well. Do you guys know that one?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love the Moth. Let's see. And then I don't know if you guys know the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read it, but I know all about it. Mm-hmm. But yep.
Yeah. I just finished that one and I also really liked that. Yeah, I would say those are obviously the On-Call Room podcast.
Thank you so much.
a big go-to for me. I'm still actually, I have not listened to all the episodes yet. I'm still like on like, when I started... listening to you guys, it was like only like a year and a half ago. So I'm still like on season 3, but then I also listen current. So I like season 3 through season like 9 of you guys that I like haven't listened to. So I'm excited to go through your lives with you again.
Oh, that's so funny. Good luck.
Right.
And we know not what we said.
I have no idea what happened back then.
Oh my gosh. You guys, so funny. So funny. I just love your guys' banter and chat. And I love how it's not like a typical podcast in that way. Like, I don't know. That's what I love about it so much is it's just you guys chatting and like there's some structure, but it's just fun.
It's also loosey-goosey.
I appreciate you guys.
Very loosey-goosey.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for saying that. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, and thank you so much
for
being here and being so flexible and cool and a patron and getting your photos done by Abby, which I think is so cool too that, you know.
It is. It made me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys, like, even just listening to you guys in the beginning, I was like, if I lived in Michigan, I would totally be friends with you guys.
But yes.
No.
You absolutely would be. But we're just friends from a distance.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. Friends from a distance. But if I'm ever in like Grand Rapids area, I'll have to let you guys
Please
know.
Do.
Absolutely, you should.
Because I think you guys made that offer of like, if we paid $100, we could like go have a drink with you guys.
We did. We did make that offer.
We're so still wondering if that offer is available.
It's like pay $100 to have a drink with us, but also you have to pay for the drink. So that's
right. That was the catch. Oh, that was the catch. Oh, so funny.
Yeah. Yep.
Lovely. Well, we will let you do the honor of calling time of death.
Okie dokie.
If you are a $10 patron, stick around. We're going to talk about interns and post-op.
Yep. And Hannah, don't press stop record. Call time of death and we'll just keep going.
Sounds good. Time of death is 2052.
Beep.